games. There's the outs. There's the shake it. The shake it all about. There's the old and the new. The wondrous legends on interview. First, not last. It's not surpassed.
It used to be a newspaper.
The Buzz Podcast. Not outclassed. Wondrous en masse.
Welcome to the Buff Podcast, sponsored by Cars Pasties. My name's Mark Isles, and I'm the chief football writer of the Bolton News. This is a special podcast recorded in the most part at the Bolton Beer Festival, which runs on Friday and Saturday night in the Premier Suite at the University of Bolton Stadium. Get down there after the game if you can, and as such, I warn you, there's a bit of background noise. In fact, the Exorcist music popped in at one stage, which was a bit weird, but hopefully you still enjoy it. First, let's review the news that didn't make the newspaper. This is breaking news. Wigan Evening Post to launch new Ian Evatt edition. Queen officially acknowledges Plymouth's third goal on Tuesday to be the UK's crappiest ever. Several Bolton fans detained at Home Park for making cream tea wrong. After leaving Newcastle United, Steve Bruce volunteers to help Tyson Fury as a human punching bag. And finally, despite repeated warning that the format does not work, journalist at the Bolton News continues to run with mock headlines at the top of this podcast. Back to the show. This week, we are at the Bolton Beer Festival. I'm just so excited. I can barely keep my mind on the podcast, but the man who will be with me on this voyage of adventure, voyage of alcoholic adventure, I might add, is Mr. Henry Hewitt. Henry, this is the first face-to-face podcast we've ever done, mate.
Yeah, and after the week we've had with Bolton, the Beer Festival is probably the best place we could do this.
I just wish that this had been like Saturday night, because I fancied like sinking a ship on Saturday night. Let's pour through it as fast as we can do. Wigan, for starters. I mean, as a Bolton fan, you mustn't have had anything like that before.
Well, yeah, ish. I mean, it was very disappointing, obviously. The sad thing was that at half-time, I kind of expected it. I thought Wigan were going to come out, get a second. McLean was probably going to score, and it'd be 3 or 4 nil. And he'd ended up doing that. If I was brave enough, I'd have put a lot of money on it, and I could have drowned my sorrows. Like Scrooge McDuck by diving into a lot of money. But yeah, it was poor, wasn't it? And it didn't help with then following it up on Tuesday night. But yeah, the whole day, obviously we know what happened in the stands as well. It was just a very disappointing day.
Yeah. I mean, that's a slightly separate subject, isn't it? I mean, the what happened in the stands was just daft. I mean, to see people kind of semi-substantiate it by the fact that the Wigan, you know, Wigan players celebrated in front of me. I don't get that at all in the slightest. It's just absolute nonsense, to be truthful. I mean, people misbehaved, and I think the Bolton are going to end up getting hit in the pocket, which is a sad thing, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. And I've said it last week on the podcast, said the players have had a bit of a honeymoon period. And if we got beat to Wigan, then the fans would turn a bit. It did happen. It was kind of predictable. To that extent, I don't think it was predictable. But, yeah, it wasn't. I was sat in the north stand, so I was at the other end to it. And, yeah, it just wasn't nice to see. And, you know, it was isolated. It was a minority of the crowd. But, you know, it made national news. And it doesn't make the club look good, does it?
No. I mean, I said it was possibly like this generation's 6-0 against United. I don't know if you're young enough, old enough, whatever that is, to remember that one. Because I remember at Burnden Park, the season that they went up with McFarland and Colin Todd, they got beat 6-0 by Manchester United. And that was as low as it felt for Bolton fans of that era. I suppose this is the same sort of result.
Yeah. I'd probably say, for me and my, as a 31-year-old, my generation's, the Stoke game probably tipped it, but definitely a home game. This was, Yeah, this was as low as it could be, especially against your local rivals. That game, I can imagine being United, and it would have been the first time we played United for a long time, so that would have been disappointing. And I think the build-up to this would have been similar, and you go home losing 4-0, and yeah, it was just poor. There's nothing more we can say. I think everyone has the same idea, just disappointing.
And then on to Plymouth. You know, 6 hours down there, absolutely slating with rain. Did you see much of the game?
I did. I had it on iFollow. I've got to say, I felt for you. I did think about you there. And I saw on the blog you said you'd drop your pasty as well. So it didn't start well for you, did it?
It didn't start well. In fairness, actually, we should mention we're behind the scenes here, and just to the left of us is the lad from the Manchester Evening News, John. How are you doing, John? His pasty ended up on the floor as well. So such is life. That's how it started, and it only got worse from there. The night ended, as I will mention later on, with a bar incident. Where I didn't get a pint to drown my sorrows. And I'm going to make up for that later on when we get into the beer festival. But it was an unusual day. I mean, Bolton haven't played at Plymouth for quite a long time. It's certainly changed since the last time they were there. The pitch was terrific, in fairness, for the amount of water that it did hold. But by the end, it was just like a swimming bath. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that third goal was just... It was madness. It was a joke, to be honest. I think, you know, when you analyse it, and I know we were going to lose the game at that point, so it didn't change anything. But I think when you look at Baptiste should know better than to pass it on the ground. Dixon should know better than to sprint 30 yards out. If Dixon would have stayed in his goal, the way it was, he could have walked out and picked the ball up off Danny Mayer's foot. And so it's gone viral. It's made us all look stupid, and it's just rounded off a pretty poor week.
I think that's part of it. You see, you said that before about going national news for Wigan. I think this is the first time we've seen back to back Bolton being dragged about on social media for that sort of thing, really. And it's embarrassing more than anything else. I mean, the performances. We spoke to Ian Everett a few minutes ago. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon, and he said actually, if you look at the performances. You know, they weren't as bad as it feels, but it was those moments that magnified it. It was the embarrassment that just made it all the worse.
Yeah, and it's going to be shown and over again. I'm not going to watch Soccer AM on Saturday because it'll be shown on there. But yeah, it was a poor night. It didn't start too well either with, again, Baptiste. You know, I don't want to, we're not a podcast that drags players out, but he lost his man. He should know better. I think the second goal, to be fair, showed the difference with us and Plymouth at the moment, because if you remember, there was a lot of times where we were drilling the ball in the box and it was hitting their men and going out, but Afellayan had a shot that hit their man, they have a shot, it goes for everyone and goes in. I guess it's just a luck at the moment.
Well, let's turn our attention to a couple of headlines, Henry. I'm sure you've made some notes.
Yeah.
They're not great headlines. I've got to say they're not great headlines this week. They're not positive headlines this week, but nevertheless we need to discuss them.
Yeah, well the first one, and this has just come a few minutes ago as you talked to Ian Everett, is about Geoffin Jones. We hoped that he could well be back for the end of this month or start of next month. It turns out it's probably going to be closer to January, and of course this means he misses the charity game as well.
Yes, it's bad news really. We were discussing it in the press room earlier that you don't necessarily know what you've got till he's gone, and I think Geffin's one of those underrated players that really has kind of gone under the radar. I think now that we're looking at right back options and talking about changing systems, it kind of shows you just how integral he was to the whole thing. But just to those that might not have read the story, it looks like he's going to be out till January. Bolton are looking at getting a second opinion on a stress fracture that he's developed, apparently an injury that's more attuned to marathon runners. But it's dreadful news for the lad, and as you say, he misses out on that fundraising do as well, which I'm sure will still be a massive success, etc., etc. And it's just a shame. But where do Bolton go from here? I mean, Brock Banks had a hell of a time in the last couple of games. Is he the answer at right back?
Well, I don't think we've got many other answers. I know he stuck his groove there for a bit. Maybe you look on Saturday against Gillingham, maybe having a more attacking-minded right back could be the answer. We'll talk about that later on. I feel we're going to have to get an early goal against Gillingham, or they could sit back and make it very difficult for us. But yeah, until January, we snookered really. So it's Brock Bank or go attacking with Isgrove.
Yeah, Ian Everett brought up the prospect of changing his system. Now, three at the back, we've seen it go very well and very badly at Bolton. If you're going to put Isgrove as a right-hand side wing-back, they've got enough options at centre-half to cope as well. It's not entirely without its merit, is it?
No, it's not, but we started last year with three at the back, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that didn't go too well, so... yeah, it's. I guess that's what Ian Everett gets paid for. He's got to make these decisions, and I'm sure they're up, you know, at the training ground, which we can almost see from our spot at the stadium. And they're going to have to work on something, because I guess after the Gillingham game, we've got a week's break, and then after that, we've got two games, but it's effectively a 2-week break from league action. So I guess there is time to work on it, but you know, you don't want to be going four games in a row without scoring or winning five games, and then we've got that Stockport game that, again, would make national news if we lost that.
Yeah, I used to worry about not having the national lads here, but no, actually, I'd rather just stay under the radar, if I'm honest. Give us another headline, Henry.
Well, it's Ian Everett. He said, in hindsight, being in the stand for Tuesday's match was probably the best thing for him.
He stayed. Driest,
yeah. But no, he said he let the side down by being banned. He got his fourth booking against Wigan. Did you think the team missed him on Tuesday?
It's interesting, because there was quite a lot made afterwards of them not going more direct. Now, you can only assume that before a game, when he's put Bakayoko up front, when you stood around in the changing rooms, or the dressing room rather, or if you're making the plans for the game, that is the message he said. He said, you know, you've got to go a little bit more direct. You know, they won't have known about the conditions beforehand and when you're planning for the game, because the rain did come on a couple of hours before kickoff. But it was clear that they were still going to be aiming. You know, if you've got Bakayoko up front, you're not trying to play it into his feet. You're doing something different. And obviously, when the conditions set in before kickoff, Everett would have been around his players saying, listen, we can't afford to mess about on the ball. But for some reason or another, between minute one and minute 90, that message didn't seem to sink in. And as you said before, with that comical third goal, I mean, you know, what they were doing, what Baptiste was doing, I have no idea at all. It's ridiculous. So, you know, maybe Everett screaming and shouting on the side was missing on the day, and maybe that message didn't come in quite as clearly. I mean, you'd assume he'd been doing it at half time as well, surely.
Yeah, I mean, going in at half time, he mustn't have been happy with what he saw. He'd played better in the second half, so I imagine that his words did have an effect on it. But yeah, I don't know with the players. Maybe it's just a lack of confidence at the moment. You know, I don't know, but you know, we'll have to see on Saturday. If we win, then maybe they did miss him.
The thing is, it's almost like the other way round. You'd think that if you were lacking in confidence, the easiest thing for you to do would be to launch it, go long, or, you know, take a bit more of the technique out of it. And yet they seem to have gone completely the opposite way and trying to play tic-tac-toe football in the rain.
Yeah. You know what, at Bolton we've been used to long balls and hoofing it up. Yeah, this is completely new to us. But it's about intelligence as well on the pitch. Yeah. Again, Baptiste, 36, 35-year-old, should know better. I know Brock Bant's a young lad, he should know better. They all should, and they were all passing it about and trying to run with it, and it weren't happening. So it was a bad day at the office, so was Wigan. And you just got to hope they can put it behind them, because I think if we lose on Saturday, I think, yeah, there'll be more online sort of, how would you put it?
I'm going to say shenanigans.
Shenanigans, negativity, yeah. So, yeah, it's... we'll have to wait and see.
Give us another headline then, Henry.
It's not getting any better, is it? The goal problems continue. Another blank on Tuesday. It's now 3 in a row. Since Sarcevic's goal against Shrewsbury in the league. So, Dapo's goal. So we had two great goals, and little did we know at the time that was going to be it for October. But is a problem, and how do we deal with it? How do we get the ball in the net?
Well, I think the way that Bakayoko played the other night, he didn't have a great game on the right hand side against Wigan, and then he was largely ignored. I mean, I don't think he necessarily had a bad game on Tuesday night at Plymouth. He just was not in the game at all. It was very hard to judge him at all because he just didn't get any sort of service whatsoever. Is he the answer? I suspect not. I suspect we are waiting for Doyle to come with the goods or for Dapo to get another one. But it's looking pretty grim. I mean, Josh Sheehan's kind of made reference to maybe he needs or the midfield needs to make better chances. Now, a few weeks ago we were talking about how good the chances were that Bolton were creating and that there's no need to be concerned because they're making these great chances. I would argue that in the last couple of games that has changed since Sheffield Wednesday, and they're not making those chances anymore. So maybe it is now on the onus is on the players around the front men to get those better chances created.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing. We can't keep a clean sheet. So it was always going to happen. If you're not going to keep a clean sheet, we're not going to score every game. And we're going to go through these times where it is more difficult. So I guess it's a bit of both. We've got to start learning to keep clean sheets again. Because, I mean, I don't know personally. How have we gone from the end of last season when we conceded like 6 in 20 games to suddenly this season when we've probably conceded 20 in 6 games?
Yeah, it's all to do with the pivot. it's just MJ. MJ's basically the only man in front of the back four now, whereas last season we were playing two and playing one further forward, but now we're playing two further forward, whether it be Sarcevic and Lee or Sarcevic and Sheehan. So maybe he's just gone a bit the other way. Maybe that's the way that he changes things around now and he brings one man back again. Maybe Thomason comes in a little bit more or, they just alter that midfield balance and that's the way forward. But I don't think that'll happen Saturday against Chilling because you've got to attack them.
Yeah, I mean, they are, let's face it, a manager, a team with Steve Evans as manager are not going to make it easy for us. They're going to be difficult. It's going to be a frustrating game. I think we know that now. It's like 48 hours before kickoff, and we know what's going to happen. So, like I said before, we need to get an early goal so they come out, and then maybe we could get 2 or 3. But the longer it goes on, the fans will get frustrated. They're going to have to do something. But, yeah, like you said, the midfield's got to create more. Sheehan scored a few goals at the start of the season. That's dried up a bit. So maybe it's just having more shots. I don't know.
Well, I seem to have overrun on one of the headlines then, Henry. I'm just looking down the list there. It says Bakayoko or Doyle, 3 blanks in a row and 7 out of 10. That's my little shorthand. But 7 out of 10, that's amazing. Do you have a preference? Would you go back to Doyle?
I would. I would say Doyle offers a bit more, but Doyle hasn't really been getting many touches. Doyle, the way we played in the first half, and I know our crossing's not been great, but he must be sat on the bench at times and so frustrated because we've not got the ball in the box to him at all. And then on Tuesday we try and do it and there's no one in the box to get on the end of stuff. So I would just go with Doyle. And you know what? That's purely just down to the fact that if we get a penalty, he's our penalty taker at the moment. But 7 in 10 is... Yeah, that's not good, is it?
No, tell me something to cheer me up.
We've got Liam Edwards and Amici look set to be back. So that's more options. It'd be great to have Liam Edwards back, but I doubt he's going to come straight into the team. So having Amici, an attacking player, he could be the difference, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a while. I was just speaking to Ian Everett about him, and it looks as if it's going to be a little bit of time before. It's very rare on this podcast that we have people walking past us. It is a rarity, and it's better for it, I feel. It feels like a more inclusive environment. Anyhow, as I was saying, it looks like it's going to be the end of November, I think, by the time Amici is going to be anywhere near fit. So I don't think we should expect too much too soon. But yeah, I think having him back up and around will be a big thing, because people forget he was pretty much the biggest signing they made in the summer. Mm. So to have your best signing effectively, you know, taken away from you, they've had to react a little bit. And his history shows that he does score goals as well. So if you can get Dapo firing on the left-hand side and him on the right, then jobs are good.
Yeah, and finally, I mentioned it before, Stockport in the Cup. This should bring a lot of fans with them. It could be a good day.
Yeah, we're hearing, and I'm hoping this has gone out by the time the podcast goes out, but it's been moved to a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, right, okay. They do split the FA Cup games, don't they? So, yeah, I don't know whether that'll have any extra edge to it. I don't think that would have been because it's on TV, is it?
I would imagine it's only highlights. I've not heard that it's a live game, to be honest, but it just makes my life a lot harder.
Well, it makes your life a lot harder. I'm sure there'll be a lot of... a lot of Stockport fans who are perhaps eyeing that up as a Saturday get on the train in Manchester to Bolton and to Horwich and back. A bit of a drinking session might have to rein it in a little bit now. But no, it'd be nice to... It's been a while since we've played Stockport, so that'd be nice. They will bring a lot of fans with them. You know, we know FA Cup, it won't be full in the Bolton end, but there'll be a bit of an atmosphere. And it's going to be dangerous, though, non-league, because it's a good chance to win and go through, but if you lose, it's not a great day, is it?
No, I mean, defeat, you don't even want to even consider it, really, because you definitely don't want to be the guys that do end up on Match of the Day on the FA Cup one, because they're dying for the big teams to go rolling out, aren't they? But, I mean, even a replay at Edgeley Park on a Tuesday night doesn't exactly sing for me.
No, it doesn't. So you never know. They might, not that they would, but they might move that to a day that's convenient for you.
Yeah, it should all be about what's convenient to me. That seems fair. Right, we're at a beer festival. So I wanted to test your knowledge. I decided to write some tasty notes about former Bolton Wanderers players and see if Henry really has got his refined palate on before we go a-drinking in a few minutes. I know it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, by the way, but let's give it a whirl. And if it doesn't work, I get rid of it in the edit, so it don't really matter. But, right, I want you to tell me who I'm getting at here. Which beer am I talking about? The clue is bitter with ginger overtones, moody body which pairs well with Gavin McCann.
Is that former manager Gary Megson?
Correct. One out of one. Okay, let's try this one. Fiery Scottish stout with a reliable finish. Ideal if you need a wee push at last orders.
Yeah, I believe that didn't sell very well in Wolverhampton. Is that Super John?
That's Super John. Two out of two. Right, okay. On to number three. I've only done four, by the way. I don't know why I've done... settled at four, but number three, complex Swedish ale which costs a bomb but will be given away free at the end of the night.
I think that's our record signing, Johan Elmander.
Correct, three out of three. Right, last one. Strong and robust English ale with a good head, unlikely to be served at Wembley more than once.
I wonder if they would have sold that in his pub. That's got to be Sir Nat.
Do you know what? It wasn't what I was thinking.
Oh.
The clue I was trying to get at is to be served at Wembley more than once. I was going for Kevin Davis, but then I realised that actually Michael Ricketts also fits.
Yeah.
I know you're just throwing another one in. Maybe that was just a bad clue. I don't know. First of all, I'd ask for your name and your title.
Laura Pendlebury, a relationship manager at Bolton Lads and Girls Club.
This is going to be a busy few days for you.
Absolutely, much needed and very well missed. It is going a bit crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we all missed it last year. I'll be honest with you, we all missed it. But just put it into context,
what sort of trade are you doing? What sort of trade are you expecting in this next couple of days?
Numbers-wise, so we open today, so we should get between 300 and 600 tonight. So that will consist of sponsors, general public at 7. Tomorrow is our sponsors hour, so I think this will be the very much needed and long-awaited networking event. So this will be the first chance for people in the business community to get together, to kind of feel normal, to do what they're good at, to reconnect. So that will open tomorrow, 12 o'clock till 6, and we'll look to get about 1,200 people.
And that's when the real thirst starts. I mean, can you put an estimate on how many pints you might be serving?
Oh, God, no, I don't even know. Oh, hundreds and thousands, thousands. We expect about 8,000 people this weekend.
Well, that's just me and Henry, surely. Thousands, thousands. So 8,000, that's 40,000 pints, easy.
Easy. We don't just have beer, though, so we are not just for boys. We've got a gin, spirits and fizz bar, so that's stocked with all kinds of gin, spirits. We've got the lager bar, cider bar, and then obviously the beer bar that's got barrels from all over. So we've got breweries from up and down the country, which is really nice. We've got some local produce as well, and some as far as Scotland, which is really nice to spread that over.
I'd just like to say that boys can drink gin and spirits too, but, you know, let's just level that out here. Certainly Henry will be on the baby shams in a couple of moments, but it'll be fine. But, yeah, I mean, it's a cracking event. We really missed it last year as well. I mean, just put it into context, because obviously it's for a good cause, and how important is it for the Lads and Girls Club?
Yeah, so ultimately, and not everybody knows that the Beer Festival is for Bolton Lads and Girls Club. So many will remember it's gone back 26 years to the Haufner, and then it was at Bolton Rugby Club. In my previous life, I was working at the stadium, so I pulled it across from the rugby club. So I have a lot of people who say, Laura, I've never been since it left the rugby club. So obviously we moved to the Premier Suite. This event does fundraise for Bolton Lads and Girls Club. It costs us a lot of money to put on, and we can only do it with the support of our sponsors. We hope to raise 2019 we raised about £50,000, so if you can think throughout COVID, fundraising has just been at an absolute standstill.
That's how busy you are. You're getting phone calls even while we're doing the podcast.
I know. So yeah, the fundraising took a massive hit through COVID, so we've not had an event. We missed last year, and it's just been really difficult. So our kind of services have grown through COVID, so we found services for young people, especially through poverty and mental health especially. There's been a gap in the services, that, and it's just grown, so things have been born through COVID that we obviously have to fund.
So drink a few pints, enjoy yourself this weekend, and you're doing it all for a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we open Friday, then we're back open again for general public 7 o'clock tomorrow. And then for anybody coming to the match on Saturday, you'll be pleased to know that we open at 6 p.m. General sale, so you can book online or you can book on the door.
So if Bolton fans need to celebrate beating Gillingham, or they need to drown their sorrows, this is the place to come.
It is absolutely the place to come. So it's adults only. But yeah, we do encourage you. So we're hoping to have Bolton FM here, who will have the van outside. So yeah, please come and join us and just support your local charity. You'll know a lot of people that come along. We are also looking, if anybody's free on Saturday evening, we're looking for volunteers to come and pull some pints. We are quite short. So yeah, if you'd like to, then please tweet us.
Right, we are now behind the scenes with the mood music and the mood lighting upstairs in the Bolton Beer Festival. It's it's quite romantic, actually, Henry.
It is. It's like, do you know when managers do their after-match interviews, and every now and again you'll get an outtake where the lights go off in the stadium. It's literally like that, yeah.
We've just had a lovely chat with Laura Pendlebury from Bolton Lads and Girls Club. She's told us just how manically busy this is going to be before much longer. And the music kicks in, which is making this all the better. But yeah, it's going to be a good night. And we've just been told it's free drinking from 6 till 7, which we are both eager to participate.
Yeah, we're recording this. It's 20 to 6, so we've got 20 minutes to finish the podcast and rush downstairs.
Shall we bother with All Right or Barry Knight? I tell you what, I'll do an All Right, you do a Barry Knight.
Oh, right, well, it should be easy this week.
Let's cut this in half, and of course the drum and bass would start. We've got somebody else actually literally doing a 1-2. It's as if they don't plan this entire thing around our podcast, Henry.
No, I mean
Get the levels right again.
No, it's Yeah, I guess we're lucky to be here, especially with the free drinking 6 to 7. So I don't mind. If they want to, we'll work around them just because it's free drinking.
That's what editing's for. But anyway, right, I'm going to take this silent opportunity to give you my all right. It's not a silent opportunity, of course it's not. But anyway, it's still an all right. I'm gonna nominate the Plymouth staff, the Plymouth stewarding staff even, who in ridiculous weather on Tuesday night were brilliant for me and Jack when we came into the stadium. One girl, Sue, I should name check her, she literally met us at the front of the stadium and ran to the other side of the stadium just to show us where to park. That's how. That's the sort of the service we got. Then another fella who, when we were picking up the press tickets, walked all the way through the stadium to show us exactly where we were going to go and exactly where we could pick up our press food as well. Lovely, lovely fellas.
The Exorcist.
I didn't expect tubular bells, I've got to be honest.
That must be a good point then for me to do Barry Knight of The Exorcist, because we need to sort of attend to some demons this weekend.
To exorcise some demons, that, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
I think it's been a pretty poor week in general, so to pick out just one thing is going to be difficult, I've got to say. I'm going to do an all right though, and it's going to be for the fans that travelled on Tuesday night. 700, and you know what? I think fair play, because I didn't go, I didn't have any intention of going. But for 700 fans from Bolton to go, and let's face it, have to put up with a poor first 20 minutes. Fair play, and credit to everyone who went.
Yeah, no, here for that one. I think it was 706, so you were slighting the six there, I think. But, no, I mean, look, what is it, 600-mile round trip?
Yeah.
Nightmare trip, and believe me, I get paid for it, and it was a nightmare trip for me. So to go down there and show the sport, they did absolutely top-notch. Right, after that swift edit there, Henry, let's see if you've got a Barry Knight, because this piano is not going to stop anytime soon.
No, it's not. What can we have as a Barry Knight? Just getting one thing. Have you got a Barry Knight this
week? Have I got a Barry Knight this week? Yes, I do. I'm glad you asked. Yes, it's another self-indulgent bit of travel news, but my Barry Knight for this week is the hotel bar at the... where were we? It began with a C. Forgotten what the flipping hotel's called now, but it's the one near the station.
You don't want to give him a name check.
No, I'm not going to give him a name check. I'm not going to give him the free publicity. I haven't even started drinking and I've already started forgetting things. So our games of Danny Shittu later on may go very, very badly indeed. But anyway, the hotel bar, we drove all the way around Plymouth. This is also part of my Barry Knight. Jack Dearden couldn't find the hotel. Couldn't find the car park for the hotel. So we drove around Plymouth maybe six times probably before we finally found where he needed to park. By which time, we'd missed the bar, we'd missed the pint. Now, that may not sound like a bad thing, but we've not had one all day. I've been travelling, I've done nothing, I've not eaten a thing all day. I dropped my lunch on the floor, of course, at Plymouth, famously. So it wasn't a great day, and that's my Barry Knight. Jack Dearden driving around about 15,000 times.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, my Barry Knight is going to be, it's going to be the fixture computer, because whoever thought of putting Plymouth away for Bolton on Tuesday night, and then a week later Portsmouth away, is clearly, I don't know whether they had a trip through Bolton and got caught in traffic once, or the fixture computer caught a virus in Bolton, I'm not sure, but it's not really done any favours, has it?
Absolutely not. Now, do you know what? The weird thing is, Portsmouth doesn't seem that far for me. I know it's all motorway down there, so it's about three and a bit hours to Portsmouth.
Just the three and a bit hours.
And as I say that, somebody's taking the stage off me and she's going to start singing. This isn't going to be easy to podcast in this room, Henry, I've got to be honest here. But let's carry on. Let's have a little bit of a chat about Gillingham at the weekend. Steve Evans in charge of Gillingham. You know what you're going to get from a Steve Evans team is the cliche. But I just get the feeling it's the right sort of game for Bolton to sort of snap themselves out. They've got no choice but to come out fighting.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, as I said before, it's going to have to be an early goal. I think the longer it'll go on, the more frustrated they will be. And we open ourselves up then for a 0-1 the longer it goes on. But, you know, let's be positive. I don't know whether it's the smell of alcohol that surrounds us, but I'm going to be positive. I think we will get that early goal, and we'll, as I said before, we'll exercise some demons.
Yes. Tonight is all about exercise. I'm going to have some demons in my head by tomorrow morning when I have to edit this podcast. But I think we're going to call it a day there, Henry. I think that's as much analysis as I think we can do at this noise level. Let's give it 5 minutes. I'm going to ask. I'll trouble you for a score prediction.
I think we'll get. I think it'll be 2-0.
I am going to go 1-0. Owen Doyle penalty.
I don't mind if Owen Doyle scores and it hits his backside and goes in. I don't mind if it hits a puddle and goes in. Whatever, just to get Owen Doyle a goal. That'd be great.
I like the idea of flooding the pitch before the game. And now that they're used to playing on that sort of pitch, maybe that could be the Bolton way.
Yeah, I like the idea of taking the roof off the South Stand and giving Gillingham fans a taste of what away fans have to deal with at their stadium.
I like the idea of turning the volume button down on the main stage so that we can do our podcast, but such is life. Right, we're going to go and find some people to talk to. Hopefully, after we finish talking here, we'll have some more bits of the beer festival to do. But if not, I'll be at the bottom of a glass. I'll see you soon. Right, we are now in the depths of the Bolton Beer Festival. 3 or 4 pints in, and I have with me Henry Hewitt, the challenger, yeah, and his dad Andrew, who is going to be teaming up.
Yeah, well, I thought, my form in Danny Shitter has been quite poor, apart from that 1 week where he went to VAR and I won. And I thought, well, my dad's here at the beer festival with me. He's been watching Bolton since the 70s, so maybe we'll get a few more former players in who I might not know.
Well, fair enough. I'll take on all comers, you know me. Right, okay. I suppose you guys better serve.
Go on, who should go in?
The chappy.
3, 2. Right, go on.
When I was at school in Walkden.
Aye, go on.
Ronnie Phillips used to live opposite, so I'm going to start with Ronnie Phillips.
Steve Elliott.
What was yours?
Steve Elliott.
Steve Elliott, T. Tony Caldwell.
Oh, very good. Len Cantello, O.
Oh, here we go. Oladapo Afalayan.
That's an N. I go Niall Meyer, that's an R.
Robbie Elliott.
That's a T.
He's not useless.
Tony Kelly, a Y.
Yuri Jarkef.
That's an F. Fred Barber.
Richard Sneakers.
That's very good. I'll go Steve McInnesby.
E.
Ian Doyle.
Owen Doyle.
That is a Danny Shitter, so you can change the letter if you wish.
Oh, Neil Cox.
To an X. Xavier Amici.
Right. Ian. Is there an Ian? Ian Walker.
Okay, that's an R. I'm going to go, I'll go the old Rob Layton.
Who?
Rob Layton.
N.
Ex-goalkeeper.
Neil Cott. Oh, I said that.
And Nathan Blake.
Okay, that's an E. Elias Kachunga.
A. Anthony Barnes.
That's an S. I'm going to go for Stan Hansen.
That's an N.
Have we had a Nicholas Anelka?
No, we've not.
Okay, then we'll go Andy Walker.
We had a Richard or a Rob. Ricardo Gardner.
And that's an R. Okay, I'll go Richard Schnakers.
We've had that.
No, not.
We had, I did that one.
Unbelievable scenes. Right, that's 1-0 you.
I need to, I should start drinking on a Thursday morning when we
I'd never heard Richard Schnakers, that's amazing. Right, okay. Well, you can have that point. I'll allow you that point. Right, okay, well, I'll serve. I'm going to go for Ian Marshall.
L.
Liam Trotter.
I'm going to go for Ricardo Gardner, which is a Danny Shitu. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go for Q.
Q.
No way.
Q.
Well, that's just... That's
Q?
3.
You've just...
2.
Just a minute. No. Can we have a rule?
1. Well, that means you can talk all you like, but... That's 1-1. That's 1-1.
Okay. Right, if you're going to play it like that, okay.
Okay. Quinton Fortune. Right, okay. That's the only cue, boys. That's the only cue.
It literally is. That's only because you've got him in your phone book.
That is very true.
Everyone else forgot he played for Bolton.
But he's actually United, you can't have him.
Sometimes you've got to... This is game management, boys. This is game management. That's 1-1.
this is play to win at all costs.
Look,
that's not Ian Evans.
I didn't get to where I am today playing Tikka Taka Danny Shitter.
Okay, right.
This is
the final game. There's puddles on the pitch. No more Tikka Taka.
Exactly. No more Tikka Taka. This is chip or lose.
So yeah. Can we have ones we've had before? Or is
nope.
No. Right. Okay.
But
yeah,
you have to challenge it if I say it, and I have to challenge it if you say it. If you repeat them, I don't want anybody at home emailing me and saying I said Owen Doyle twice when Henry and Andrew are standing here in the room did not recognise it. So that's the rules.
But Richard Snakers was said twice.
That's fine. If I say it a third time, then you definitely deserve to win. So you can serve if you wish.
We'll
give him
serve.
Richard Snakers.
No, we'll serve with
Neil Watmore.
Neil Watmore, and that is an E.
Yeah.
And that is not easy. Eric Snooks. That is not easy, but it's an S. Eric Snooks.
Where did he come from?
Believe me, look it up.
What year?
It would have been 60s, 70s ish. I'll Google it in a minute.
Okay, we'll
go with
S.
If I'm wrong.
Spell his surname.
I'll go Ebby Smolarek. If you want me to just list up another E, that's fine, okay. But Eric Snooks is still right.
Never heard of that.
Kevin one. Nolan.
Okay. I'm going to go for.
Three, two, one.
Right. Honestly, that guy's phone has just slipped underneath the table. I was looking at that. Dear. I mean, I'll take the lose. I'll take the lose, Henry. I'll take the lose. But there's a guy on the table across from us. A guy's phone has slipped underneath the table.
You know what? This yeah. When we record this, look, and I'm sat in my living room, I don't have these distractions for you. So
no.
I need to send some. I need to send a plane to your house with Mark. Look here.
All I'm saying.
Penalties.
All I'm saying that should be a penalty. That I mean, VAR.
Mark,
are you going to let me carry on?
I never win. Come on.
Well, I can't even remember. Look,
if you do win, this won't make the edit, so it's not really an issue to me. But anyway, let's carry on. Do you want to serve?
No.
You want to go for an end? Okay, then. I'm going to go for Nigel Riococca.
Okay, we're going to go for Ricardo Vazte.
That's a very good one. That's a very good one. I'm going to go for...
Three... Two, one.
No, I'm not having another E. That's it. That's a legitimate win. I'll give you that one.
I do.
Ida Johnson would have been a very good answer from me. So please feel free to text and tweet Henry on what I could have said.
No, tweet Henry with my congratulations that I've actually won one.
I wouldn't worry. It's never going to make the edit anyway.
So this is the part where I wrap up the show and I say something pithy and play the music. But before you go, a reminder that we've got a special introductory offer, £2 for 2 months for the Bolton News Online. Then that gets rid of all those annoying pop-up ads. It gives you unlimited access to articles on the site, and most importantly, every single little bit of the Bolton Wanderers news. I'm off this week, but I'll be keeping that premium content topped up throughout the week. Got some really exciting stuff in the pipeline as well in the build-up to Christmas. Do not miss out. Support your local newspaper. Support local news. It's really, really important. Go to theboltonnews.co.uk/subscribe, or you can follow the links on one of my premium articles. They're the ones with the little blue square in the top left-hand corner, and you'll be doing me a favour as well. Before I go, I've clearly started a craze because I've got some haikus that have been sent to me this week. I'll read a few of them out next week. I would imagine we're going to have a bumper correspondence special because we haven't fit anything into this show, to be honest. Too much drinking done, if we're being brutally honest. But this one is from Dan Marsh. It's a haiku, remember, so it doesn't have to rhyme. Soaked to the bone at Plymouth, 600-mile trip. Be there again Saturday. I think that works. Very good, Dan. Until then, I've been Mark Isles. Henry Hewitt is probably tucked up in bed, but he's been Henry Hewitt, and this has been The Buff.